Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late. Happy to be here with all of you. This is one of our last three coaching mastery circle calls for this cycle. We're together the next couple of weeks. We've got our clinic call today, our business Q&A call, although those have kind of been merging, which is great. And then we have one more topic call together. A lot of you are stepping forward and renewing, and so happy to see that. There's still another day for the early bird rate if you've been thinking about doing it. And I'm just thinking about all of you. I hope you're all doing really well, and I'm really looking forward to being with you today. So let's take a moment and get centered and get settled. Wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes or close the shades. If you can't actually close your eyelids, just go inwards. Feeling the ground beneath you and finding your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in life. Take in what you need. As you exhale, let go. Inhaling, breathing in, taking in the life force, feeling it, using it, taking pleasure in it. Exhaling and releasing what you don't need. Using the breath to connect deeply to your body. Using the breath to connect deeply to this moment. And as you breathe in this way and get present to yourself in this way, I invite you to connect in with your heart. Connect in with your love. Connect in with your passion. Connect in with your creativity. And connect in with all that you hold dear in your heart. And in this connection, I invite you to ask your heart the following question. What is a habit in your business that isn't serving you and is ready to be cleaned up? Don't let your mind answer from a should place on this. Let your heart answer from a desire place on this. What is a habit in your business that isn't serving, that you deeply desire and feel ready to clean up, to shift, to transform? And maybe it's around technology use or social media use. Maybe it's around over-promising or going over on client sessions. Maybe it's around not giving yourself enough time for marketing or not making time for a specific part of your business. Maybe it's about on sales calls not sharing your full rate, you know, always kind of poo-pooing out on that. What is it for you that your heart really desires to clean up, to change, to transform? And whatever that habit is, continue to connect in with your heart and ask it, what is the belief that has been supporting this habit, this unhelpful habit? What's the belief that's been supporting this unhelpful habit? And then continuing to connect in for one more moment. I want you to connect in to the energy of the habit itself. So the energy of the habit itself, or how you feel your energy when you are executing this habit. Connect in energetically there. And from that energetic connection, you can ask the habit or ask yourself in the energy of the habit, what are you ready to know about this? What are you ready to know about this? Taking one more nice deep breath in and out, just releasing that energy of the habit or of yourself when you're in the habit, just move out of it. Being in gratitude for your heart or its love and its passion and its wisdom. Allowing your eyes to flutter open. And take a moment right now to, if you desire, to make a commitment around whatever came up in that meditation. What is something that you would like to do? What is a commitment you would like to make around this habit? Right, and the commitment, if you desire to make one, might be to you. Stop doing it, right? Or it could be a variation. It might be in steps. Make a commitment. And of course, as we all know, just because we make a commitment doesn't mean that we follow through on the commitment. So take another moment and strategize, just write down a strategy for yourself and how you might follow through on this. All right. With that, let's open up the floor for any questions, anything that you want to bring forward, anything that you would like support on. Star 2 would like to come forward first. Give me a second here. Okay. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, so the thing I'm looking for support with, so this is a client that I started working with recently. It's a business coaching client. Mm-hmm. And she, so I guess I'll preface this in saying a little bit about how I work with people. So what I've been doing is coaching calls once a month, and then I offer unlimited email support in between those calls. And I'm going to be adding in like a group component within the next couple of weeks with like a Facebook group and places where they can bring, questions to, you know, not just privately emailing me, but also to like the group.
Mm-hmm.
This one particular client, she's talked about having anxiety, and also a habit of hers is to feel really overwhelmed really easily and feel like she has to take everything on all at once. And so we've been working on that. But I'm noticing a pattern in her email communications with me in that, you know, most people, like, sometimes I'll have to reach out to people because I'm not hearing from them and I just want to check in. But with her, it's like a lot of emails and there's multiple threads going and it's feeling confusing and overwhelming for me to keep track of all the different pieces we're talking about. And so I guess I'm curious, like, you know, I've set up this framework and I've told her she has unlimited email support and I want to like honor that, but it just feels like it's not really serving her or me that well. So I'm curious, like, what could I do in this situation, given her struggles, to make this work better for her? And then also, like, thinking into the future, like, maybe offering unlimited support is not ideal and that I should put some sort of a limit on that. So, yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm curious
yeah.
your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I think there's a couple of different components. Let me just ask you, what are the threads, like, what are some of the threads of the email? Is it just about her anxiety, or are there other things that are going on in the email?
Yeah, so there was a couple of different action steps that we talked about. There was sort of an action step to work on crafting a vision and mission statement, and there were some, like, journaling questions to go with that. And I told her, I was like, this is something for, like, if you get to it. Like, there's other stuff first. If you finish that stuff up, then you can work on this. But she sort of, like, launched right into that. And so there's a whole thread around that. And then the other piece is about licensing. She's working to get licensed as a product manufacturer. It's very confusing for her. And so there's been a lot of back and forth with me and her, with her trying to, like, figure out what the steps are. And it ended up in like two different email threads. Yeah, it's sort of like confusing even looking at it, but it's a lot of like strategy pieces. And then most of it came out of our action steps.
Okay. Got it. So I'm going to talk in general and then talk specifically about her.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think there's two levels. So the first is, and we kind of, I think we sort of had a little bit of an exchange about this on a Facebook post last week. Meeting with a client once a month, especially if you're doing a lot of inner and outer business work with them,
mm-hmm.
is going to either create disconnection, like what you were talking about before, like you don't hear from, you know, they just kind of like fall off.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. or it's going to create this. They're kind of like opposite ends of the coin when there's a looser, of the same coin when there's a looser container,
mm-hmm.
Just depending on the person and their personality and their attachment stuff, you know, like all of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel to me, like in general, even if you add a Facebook group component to it, it actually doesn't feel to me like it serves you or your client to meet with them only once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm wondering why you are meeting with them once a month as opposed to twice a month or even every 3 weeks can
mm-hmm.
be, which is generally how much I meet with my clients.
Yeah.
Not that you have to do it the way that I do it at all, but I'm just wondering about the thinking behind it. Is it like a money thing? Like you don't want to charge more? You know, what's going on there?
Yeah. Well, so I was doing every other week with clients mm-hmm. beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the issues is that, you know, sometimes it didn't seem like it was giving them enough time to really like digest and implement the stuff we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that stretching it out might make sense. It's also a scheduling thing for me. Like mentally, it sort of makes sense to think about like, okay, I have this many client calls each month,
mm-hmm.
so I can take on this many more clients. And we
yep.
can meet with each person like the first Tuesday, and it just makes scheduling a little bit easier and more clear. So I guess there's two different things there.
Yep. Yeah. No, all of that makes sense. So if the 2 weeks was too often, and my guess is it might vary client to client. Like this client, it actually feels like every other week would serve her really
mm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
But another client, maybe not. Although if you're not hearing from them at all, you know, you're only kind of connecting that one time a month and you're not hearing in between sessions, I would say every third week. I get how that would be a little bit of a make things a little trickier with scheduling, but you can kind of figure out, you can still figure out a system. I'll tell you quickly now, kind of one of the ways that you can do it is decide how many sessions you want per month. And then just multiply that by 12 months. And then, you know, it might be that some people you're seeing once in October and other people twice, if it's every
mm-hmm.
3 weeks, but it kind of like evens out, you know, it isn't as simple as this many clients, then that's the exact number of sessions every
mm-hmm.
month. But I think it would be, think about all the effort you're putting in to answer all of these emails and or follow up with people that you don't hear from. I think
mm-hmm.
it would be a well worth the exchange.
Okay.
So I just want you to think about that for moving forward. My sense is that also the results that you co-create together, you'll see even more happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. And then number two, yeah, for moving forward, I say that there's unlimited email, but I put, like I pre-qualify what unlimited email means. You know, in the contract and also when I describe it on the sales call. So for me, unlimited email means that I'm not going to, you know, it's not like after 10 emails a month where you can't send me any more emails, but I qualify, you know, if it's something that I feel is not appropriate for email, either because it will take a very long time to email out or it will have a lot of back and forth that I'll ask to save it for the next session or to add a session. And then I also pre-qualify that it means, because a lot of times I'll do copy editing for people, that it's light copy and not extensive. So
mm-hmm.
you can decide for yourself what email support makes sense for you. But I do recommend letting people know that there are just some things that, if for as much as you want to support them over email, it doesn't make sense to do it. And it sounds like some of what's going on between the two of you is like that. You can reset that container with her. You know, you can let her know, like, you're so happy that the two of you are connecting so much in between sessions and that she's, like, in it and so engaged. And also just, you know, honestly, like, that there's, with all of the emails happening, you're getting confused in some of the threads.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of identify which types of things make sense for email and which ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, because you're in the middle of the container, like, you can either just do that and that's that, or if you feel like you desire to and you have the space to, whatever, you can, if there's a lot of things that you're going to say, you know, it's not appropriate for email because that wasn't part of the container to begin with, it might just make sense for you, Stephanie, to give her, like, an extra 20 minutes every other week to talk through some things.
Mm-hmm.
That might save you an hour of email time.
Yeah. Okay.
Which also, by the way, with some of my, like, higher commitment clients, if they do send an email and it's more complicated, I'll say, can you just hop on the phone for 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Is that helpful to think about?
That is, yeah. I think that's a good thing to communicate with her because I think it's, you know, it's just feeding her overwhelm and confusion. Like, if I'm feeling it, I'm sure she's feeling it too.
Yeah, energy follows energy.
Exactly. And then, yeah, I guess I need to think, reconsider how I'm offering calls to people. I thought with this group component that I'm adding in that I could keep it at once a month because what the group is going to be is a Facebook group, but also like a monthly mastermind call where we can all hop on the phone together. They'd be getting that extra FaceTime. But you think even with that, I should up it to at least every 3 weeks?
I think you could experiment to see if it works. If you do, you want to have a couple things in place. So first of all, whatever week you're going to have the mastermind call, I wouldn't have them schedule their private call. The second is I would really pre-qualify and let them know the importance of showing up for those masterminding calls and how it's going to help them and how it's going to be of value for them to be able to move forward in their work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be really clear. Because sometimes what can happen is the group thing, especially if somebody has private, the group thing can feel like, I don't need to get on that. You know, I have my private with Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
It's perceived as less valuable. So you have to kind of like really connect the dots to show why it is valuable.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'd say if you do that and then maybe you might, if they're all working on business, are they all going to be working on business?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then maybe it's like add one more component in there. You know, some kind of like weekly or monthly something, not that you get on live, but in the Facebook group, like if anyone wants to participate in a monthly blueprint or thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of, I'm going to have content that's going to back up, that's going to be available to them to work through. So there's that piece. But I was going to be doing my mastermind calls around the full moon and then thinking about on the new moons doing some sort of like intention setting for the month ahead.
That's great. Yeah. You could do that as a Facebook Live or as a post or whatever it is.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Adina. Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, good. I'm intending to ask about some of the stuff that came up in the initial exercise around raising weight and kind of moving towards a healthier spread in my sliding scale. But I think I'm actually going to save that and just ask a client question. So I have a client that I am into my third cycle with, who's been super consistent. He's the only man that I've worked with, which has been interesting. He was a referral from one of my first clients. And he is stuck in a job that he despises, and we've been working on moving him in the direction of moving on from that, which of course is slightly complicated by COVID and what sent him to the job market. But he's in this interesting position where he basically is able to work from home now from this job, and he has been sort of sidelined from a big project that he was supposed to have a significant role in, and he's been sidelined in a way that, like, the whole environment. So he has sort of been sidelined in a way where it hasn't affected his employment stability or security. It's just affected basically the fact that he now has much of his day free to do work on his job search and his portfolio and do sort of virtual volunteering and all these things that's really building really beautiful momentum for him, towards getting out of this job. But he is sort of so stuck in his ego around being sidelined from this project that he has been, fortunately, with my support, holding himself back from writing. You know, he had drafted an email to the entire organization, sort of calling them out for not following best practice in this project and all of these things. And so I've been working with him on sort of finding the line between being in integrity and voicing his truth in a way that is not going to immediately compromise the position that he's in, which is a really secure one for, you know, that sort of supporting him while he's working through this this job search. And so in that, we're starting to get into some deep underlying stuff around why he's so triggered by being sort of sidelined and undermined, and everything that brings up for him. Fortunately, his boss was just away all of last week, and had made it clear that she wouldn't be checking email, which was a easy way to get him to pause on the message that he was about to send out, so that we could really, you know, take our time with it. But I just wondered if you had insight around how to handle that. And, you know, I'm aware too of my filters around having in my own past made a big leap, leaving a very secured career, you know, to try to do all these things sort of before I really had my ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being very, very caught, you know, sort of overly cautious on his behalf around, like, not doing that.
So first of all, it sounds like you've been doing really great work with him so far. Yay. You know, and you're checking your filters. And, it sounds like you guys have gotten to a place where he can see that when he like does some of these things or wants to do some of these things, that it's coming from a triggered place and that you've started exploring all of that. So far, really well done. All the things that, you know, all in the right direction. As you were talking, what one thing that you could do that I sense would be a really good next step and really helpful for him is to identify what is the part of him that gets triggered. So you wouldn't use this language, but it's like, what's the archetypal energy of the triggered one? You know, is it the self-saboteur? Is it the one who feels invalidated? Is it the angry one, right? So to kind of help him identify, like, what, when he has those impulses, like with the email, what is that part of him? So just by doing that, you know, that's just a step one, but just by doing that, what that allows for is for him to start to see this part not as all of him, like, you know, the impulse is like all of who he is, but that it's being driven by one part of him. And then the next thing you would want to do is to help him identify, you know, give a name then to the one that would, you know, maybe still send the email and express himself, but do it in a way where he's not burning bridges. You know, who is that one? You know, is that the adult part, or is that for some reason I'm not coming up with other parts, but you know what I mean, right? Like, what part of him does that? Is that the courageous risk taker, right? Not the same as a self-saboteur, the one who's still, right? And so that now he has these like two kind of parts of himself that he can see and work with. And then what you can do next is when a situation comes up, you know, like whatever it was that prompted him to write this email, you can say, okay, you know, and he can even write this out. Okay, so whatever name you came up with, the triggered one, let's say it's the one who needs to be validated. How would the one who needs to be validated react to this situation? And then how would the adult respond to this situation? So that he can start becoming more aware and teasing out these different types of reactions and responses. And what that will do is start to give him like a gap, like a pause between the triggering event and the impulse to action, so that he can start assessing for himself where he wants to respond from, or if he wants to react versus respond.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've tried digging into some of the parts work and trying to sort of see if there's a, you know, some childhood experience that has sort of primed him to be so sensitive to that sense of being sort of undervalued and undermined, and haven't really gotten there. And I have a feeling that he is very stuck in some adult trauma that he's experienced. Mm-hmm. And my sense is almost that he's been so stuck on that, and we've worked through a lot of that in a lot of depth. He's still so stuck in that he isn't, that there's something earlier on that maybe he's just not able or ready to touch into that is affecting.
So a couple things in there. So first of all, that's a great impulse to want to look, you know, back that far. And also that's great insight that he might not be ready. But here's the good news. When you do the parts work, it can still work even if you don't you won't go as deep, but actually still it can work even if you don't identify the origin of it.
Right.
So long as he can give a name to that part of himself, that's more than just, I think, a little bit more specific than the triggered one, you know, like to give it just a name, you can still do the type of thing that I outlined before, and it will still start to give him a lot more awareness and ability to change behavior.
Right.
It's like
right.
always bonus points if you can, you know, get to those deeper places and the origins and then do different kind of work with it. But sometimes somebody isn't going to be ready and you can still do the hard work anyway.
Yeah. And that's just to remind me, I know that in Sacred Depth there's the archetypes call. Is that right? I'm trying to just think.
There's the resistance archetypes in that call. I don't know if this could be one of the resistance archetypes. Like it could be the judge mm-hmm. or you know, something like that. But what I'm talking about is related to it, but it's not exactly
right, it's not
the resistance
same, right.
archetypes. Yeah, it's just about kind of isolating the archetypal energy and having him understand it more. And
right.
I just want to make sure that I say for you and for everyone, like, sometimes we have a part, most of our parts are going to come from childhood, but sometimes we have a part that does get activated in adulthood. It's probably related to something in childhood, but it's okay to, like, focus on, you know, if it got, you know, like, how it got activated in adulthood, too.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Let's see. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I have sort of a overall program question that has two parts to it. One is more sort of the content, one is the marketing part. So I am wanting to create, sort of inspired by the last time we talked, a container for people who've done the initial story process with me to keep cultivating their voice. And I am inspired by the inner work we did at the beginning of this call, because as I was starting to put the words and shape to it, I started noticing my tendency to overgive.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, like, okay, it'll be a Facebook group and you can, like, post things in it, I'll give you feedback. And I'm like, no.
That's exhausting.
And that's just, like, a habit that's really trying to fall away right now so that I can show up the way that I want to show up, which is not to get into, like, being tight, getting into, like, the Facebook group feedback and, you know, email me and I'll give you some thoughts and all the things that I've been doing that make me feel bogged down. And wanting to really create an experience that is powerful on its own without my needing to pick up the pieces outside of the class. So it's helpful just to name that out loud as a starting point. And I shared with you last time this desire that I have to bring more of a soul voice into the space. And so what I was thinking about was this this program that would be, you could have an option to join for 6 months or a year, and it would be cheaper to join for the year. And it's two calls a month that are, I'm tentatively calling it like the Untethered Voice Accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to have two calls a month that are get it done related, but like in a very soulful way. So, you know, a deep grounding, and to getting him in the space of open expression and just like raw free writing, and then breaking into some breakout rooms to just share, and see what resonates with people, and then have space to actually polish something in the session. So this is a way that people can build a regular soulful expression practice that can serve their work. So they're writing emails and social media posts, but doing it in a really soulful way. And then, so that would be twice a month, and then one call where it's like an office hours, where I will be there to give feedback on pieces that people bring for a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then I was also going to have, maybe this is too much as I'm saying it out loud, but like another, you know, just sort of 10-minute recording library that I start to build up on, like writing and, you know, writing a podcast pitch and, you know, other visibility related topics that could be supportive. So I wanted to get your feedback on that as an offering. And then I briefly talked to you about this before, but I'm just trying to nail down like a price for it too, that I'm thinking in the $200 a month range.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And how long are the calls?
90 minutes.
Okay. So it sounds awesome. A couple of pieces. The office hours or the Q&A call where
uh-huh.
you would give feedback on writing.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a place where even if somebody is not going to, like, bring forward their own writing, that they are going to
mm-hmm.
learn so much from you working with somebody else's writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely, you know, encourage people, I mean, if they drop in, but, like, to really, especially if they want more support learning how to write, I would
mm-hmm.
definitely encourage them to listen in
mm-hmm.
as you do that. The 10-minute little things feel like the overgiving part to me.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to, in the two other calls a month, like every now and again, devote 10 minutes to teaching something like that, and then you have that recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then those can be reused, I'd say go for it. But
mm-hmm.
otherwise,
mm-hmm.
it's an extra responsibility for you that
yeah.
I don't think is needed. And I think those questions anyway will come up in some of the Q&A calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as I'm talking now, like the only other thing I'm thinking, and this wouldn't be monthly. Maybe this would happen if you wanted to, maybe twice a year or something,
mm-hmm.
is to
mm-hmm.
have a special call where you actually pick somebody's piece of writing
mm-hmm.
and you take 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and really
mm-hmm.
go through it.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, as a, like a demonstration for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I used to do that in some of my older programs where every once in a while we would just take like sales page, somebody in the group sales page copy, and we would just spend an hour going through it. And
mm-hmm.
people learn so much that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. 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 Cool.
Yeah.
And pricing wise,
$200 a month sounds like a steal to me.
Okay. I think I'm comfortable starting with that. Maybe as I get
yeah.
into it more, I'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that feels like a good place. And this, I don't know if you'll have an answer to this one, but I have this tendency to sort of rely on content, and I'm really wanting this to be a container that's really presence-based and soulful, and I just wondered if you had any extra thoughts on ways to bring that alive even more. Obviously, it starts with my presence.
Right, 100%. Your presence and energy follows energy. Just share with me again the two main calls a month. What's going to happen on them?
So those would be like soul-driven writing sessions that are, so I do the grounding and maybe bring in some journal questions to get to open people up, and then I hold the space for free writing, like a hand-to-page type writing, and then they do a breakout room where they share what they came up with, and start to refine what they're trying to say and what they want to say. And then they have time in the end to polish something, and I take a few shares at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fair amount of empty space.
Yeah.
I mean, but empty space to fill with
what
they have inside.
To get it done. So it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's a curriculum-driven program, number one. Like, it really sounds like this is about your presence and your facilitation and, you know, all of that. How many people do you anticipate will be in it?
I think for starters, probably 5 to 10. But I would love to build it up to be kind of to not have a limit on the number.
Yeah.
As I grow.
So this wouldn't work for as it grows, but in the beginning, like 5 to 10, you could at the start of the two writing calls ask them just like a really short, like 20-second check-in each, or ask a question that's like the answer is a phrase, you know, each one of them answers with a phrase, not more than that, so that you start off where in a way where everybody is engaged and present and hearing everybody else's voice, and then go in. That could be a way to, you know, just keep that really nice container. And then as it grows, you know, once it gets up, you know, more than 12 or 14, probably there's not going to be time for that, because you don't want that to take more than, you know, 5-6 minutes total at the beginning.
Yeah.
But it could be nice for when it's smaller.
Yeah. Well, and I think I could, even if a larger group came, I could always have a few voices come through at the beginning and end, even if it's not everyone. But I agree that building connections within the group initially would be a powerful way to start it. Thank you. That's
you're welcome. It's exciting.
Make it real.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Christine.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. The first thing I want to say is I'm always blown away by, you know, the way you begin the sessions and that the journaling and the energy. And, it, you know, I almost think, my goodness, it's almost like a whole different thing's happening within me, you know. So thank you for that. It's just beautiful to hear the energy of the habit. But what I do want to speak about now, actually, so a lady in her job has brought together 12 ladies who belong to her department, and the intention was that she creates a circle, you know, that is supportive and you know, helps each of those ladies grow. And she then approached me and said, okay, here I am. I have these 12 ladies. We work together, and I'd really like you to put together some sort of program to help them out. And in my mind, when I looked at the questions that she'd asked them to put together, just, you know, what is it that's bothering them? It was stuff like, you know, how do I play office politic games? How do I want to do that? This is a digital department. Is it male? Is it female? And all the cultural things that come up with it. And so in my mind, the solution to that really was just to help these ladies transform their understanding of the nature of life and how they would then respond to it, and how they, the kind of questions they're asking now perhaps would get transformed if they understood the nature of life. But in doing that, also teach them skills that they can go and use with their teams. So that, so they're office-based skills, but really my aim is to just help them transform their understanding of life, the nature of life. So tomorrow I have my first, because then when she talked to me and I have already had a session with the ladies, she then came back to me and said, right, so what does the whole program look like? And we're going to have a meeting about that. But what I'd love help with from you is just an understanding of what information do I need to walk away with in order to really write a healthy, a good program, a program that's powerful.
First of all, yay, it's so exciting.
Yes, I am excited, I am. Thank you.
Can you, before I answer your question, tell me just a little bit more what you mean by to transform their understanding of life. Get a little bit more specific there.
Okay. So particularly this society here in Kenya is we're a collective society. So our thinking is the collective thinking, very heavily influenced by culture and society and family and that kind of thing, religion. And so I'm thinking that when someone asks, can I get involved in the office politics, it's more about what do I look like rather than, you know, So if that's the kind of energy you're going into any discussion with, then of course you're going to look like quite the, you know, you're not going to come out of any office politics in any healthy manner, because you go into it thinking, well, should I be doing this? Is it feminine? You know, what will they think of me? Will I lose my job? So I'm trying to shift their perception of life, which in my mind, the nature of life, which in my mind is all about who said what about you and when, right? So and I'm trying to say the nature of life is it's internal. It's about you. And then, of course, the concepts you've taught us about energy, you know, the kind of journaling, the kind of quest process we went through at the beginning, that sort of thing. Just accountability for self. So that's what I mean. Shifting from, this is what people say we should do, and we're asking how high do we jump, to actually I can decide if I want to jump or not and how.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting off course here, because I might be. you know, but I'm just kind of taking what I'm hearing from you and synthesizing a little bit with, you know, with the idea in mind of when you have this meeting tomorrow, you know, for this person to really get what you're trying to do here. And so as I heard you talking, you know, kind of what came to mind, almost like a title for the course, because when you talk about like understanding the true nature of life, it's very esoteric.
yes, I hear
right?
you. Yeah.
So what, you know, one thing that I heard in my head, and let me see if I can remember it now, was cultivating confidence and inner authority
yep.
to make more impact.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the office or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what you're really talking about, like what the result that they would like, in a way.
Yes. Absolutely. And if I can just add, so she, in her mind, it was, she's calling it her story, making her story something about fireside chats. And I'm thinking, this is a whole department in a financial institution. Mm-hmm. Why would you, it almost sounds demeaning. Now, that might be my own my own filter, but it almost sounds demeaning that you have this group of ladies who work for a financial institution, and you're trying to create a situation where they can have fireside chats.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I said, no, why don't we talk about women in leadership, but the feminine principle. But I do love what you're saying more, because it's very clear what the intention is.
Yeah, it's like people know what's in it for them.
Yes.
When they, right?
Yes. So, yes.
And so my thought is, maybe each call is a combination of one inner piece around confidence and inner authority. So you'd spend the first half of the call, you're looking at one inner piece around it, and then the second half of the call, looking at a practical application in the office.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. I love that. Okay. Right.
So that way they're getting these inner pieces, but they're seeing directly in a very focused way how they can start applying it to the office politics, to having conversations with colleagues, you know, whatever.
Right. Yes. I like that very much. So that would be about her, me communicating what it is I'm trying to achieve.
Yes. Yeah, so what I would say is your next step would be, I don't know how long the course is, let's say it's 5 sessions, I would come up with like 5 inner topics or principles and inner issues to explore, and then 5 outer applications that kind of match.
And
it doesn't have to be an exact match, you know, because they'll all help. All the inner pieces will help all of the outer pieces that you get to in the program, but just to, so that you have some like meat and material to present to her in terms of topics that you'll be covering and outcomes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. Yes. I hear you. And what if she wants 10? What would you, cause what she said to me is you steer it. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know whether this is a project that she wants to have year through, you know, throughout the year or what. But I guess I'd find that out tomorrow.
Yeah, I would present, you know, decide if you want it to be 5 or 10 or 8, like just to present to her.
Okay.
And then see what feedback she gives you. And you can always make it longer or shorter, you know, whatever
it is. Yes, yes,
you know, she hasn't yet given you those parameters. You know, take your best guess and then have the conversation.
Okay. This is helpful. This is really helpful.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you very much. That's actually all I need, because then the right questions, if I know what the intention is and what I am trying to draw out of her, and of course lead it in this way by saying these are my suggestions, I will get the right insights, I think.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. I'm really excited for you.
Thank you, Joanna.
Okay. Tina.
So I have more of a business strategy question today. So when you asked the question in the beginning, what's the habit that we're committed to shifting that isn't serving us? And like immediately the first thing that came, I wrote, was like disorganization. And that's just, I mean, I've known this, and even like in March, one of like my business goals were around like organizing, creating systems for myself, daily scheduling, the blueprinting, all that. So it's like, while I've been trying to do that, I'm still struggling there a little bit, which is fine.
Can we acknowledge that you've moved forward quite a bit in that since?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I have. I've moved forward, and yeah. So I think that where where I sit with this too. I feel like I'm in a pivot, and I've been a little bit in a pause in my business, because ultimately, like, the first half of the year was focused on, like, you know, I had that new beta program, the 3-month offer, group and one-on-one, and that was, like, that was amazing. And then I raised my prices. And so that's where I'm at. I'm at this pivot and realizing that I did a lot of, like, clarifying my messaging, my signature systeming, my core offers, and I want to continue doing that the rest of the year. But ultimately, like, my goal, my, like, top priority goal now is to, like, make $20,000 to $30,000 in the next 6 months. And because that's my goal, though, like, I've been in this, like, dance of entrepreneurship for, like, 5 years now. And the biggest thing that holds me back is, like, that disorganization piece, in the sense where, like, what I see as, like, my ultimate future, just from, like, witnessing other people in business world, is that, like, I want a lot of my stuff to be, like, organic. And, like, I love creating content. So I love, like, those funnels. I've gotten into funnels, and then I get sold on a webinar, and, like, that's, I don't know, I like that, and I want to have those things in place, but I don't currently have them. So I guess where I'm at now is, part of me is, like, looking at that, like, okay, like, I've wanted to create this for, like, a few years, and I started, but then I never did, and so that's there. But then also this very real, like, I want to make $20,000 to $30,000, like, in the next 6 months. So it's, like, what are the steps? Is it, like, take a month or two and do that? And I just will share what I have been doing, because I have been doing stuff. So pretty much I've been, like, tapping into the warm leads that I have, which are, like, and it's just, like, so I haven't worked with that many clients this year. So my warm leads were, you know, people that wrapped up the 3-month program, which was, like, 3 people. I have to have conversations with 2 of those people. One has already said she wants to keep working together. So that's just a conversation that we need to have. I think next week we have it scheduled. So I have some pieces like that lingering. I also had a friend that I did a one-on-one session with. She's been a client, but a friend. And she's mentioned, like, wanting to do a 3-month program with me. So I'm kind of, like, you know, that's in process right now too. And then I have my Moon members, which we have monthly calls, like Moon ritual calls twice a month. And we just did the full moon eclipse one. And then I got this kind of, like, divine download of something I wanted to offer them. And again, I think it was just around two, like, I'm trying to get them on the call, the phone, so I can invite them into deeper work together. So I did try offering them, like, a free, jumpstart session, which one person took me up on, and I did invite her, and she, you know, that kind of, like, she honestly, like, I invited her in a few ways, and I haven't heard back, so I just kind of stopped reaching out. So I don't know, maybe I should have reached out again. But so then what I just did now was I decided to create, like, it just came to me, and I already put it in an email to them, was a 3-month container. But it was like, if you buy a one-on-one session with me, I want to give you this, like, juicier 3-month container where we'll do deeper work on, like, uncovering all of the wisdom that's bubbling up from eclipse season. So it's more like just creating the space for accountability to, like, I call them reflection circles. So basically I'm holding 2 calls for them to come journal, reflect, and, like, do a little bit of inner work together in a group. And then they have a one-on-one session with me. So I'm hoping then, you know, that sets me up to invite them into, like, one-on-one work with me. And that's kind of where I'm at, but I haven't been on social media. I haven't emailed my list in, like, months of, I think I have, like, 500 people that don't tend to buy. So that's where I'm at. So I'm just like, what should my focus be now?
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing the question forward. So if the top goal is $20,000 to $30,000, you want everything that you do to kind of be in service of that. You don't want to do anything, even, I don't want to say don't do anything fun. Hopefully everything that you do is, you know, in service of that is going to be fun, but you don't want to just do something to
yeah.
do it.
And I said right. 20 to 30K with ease, flow, and excitement, because that is the top important energy.
Yeah. So it sounds like, in terms of the people that you already have in front of you, that it's kind of slim pickings, like the people.
Yes.
And tell me if I'm getting this right. It sounds like even if you would start emailing your community, you know, maybe one or two people would come out of the woodwork, but not much more than
That's what I sense. Yeah.
And what about with social media?
I don't know. It's tough. Like, even when I've done that in the past, I've been able to, I guess this is like the first time, and I don't even charge that much in regards of like coaching and all that, but this is the first time, like I've gotten people to, I get a lot of people signing up for like local events that I do, and they'll pay like $30 to $50, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by a lot, I mean like, you know, 20 people. So I've done that before, and that seems to work easily when I've done that in the past. But, you know, I don't know about this, like online, bigger packaging work.
Yeah. And things are wonky with COVID right mm-hmm. now. But so besides your people that you have on social media and on your email, in your email community, do you have right now access to any other people?
I mean, as far as, like, if you're talking about, like, potential clients, I can't really think of, like, a big, like, ooh, like, that's a whole untapped area. Mm-hmm. I do know that, like, over the last month, like, three people have randomly reached out to me to do podcasts, be on their podcast, like, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So then part of me is, like, do I start doing that? Do I focus this month on, like, doing that and then creating some sort of, like, you know, freebie or taste that I can offer them from the podcast. Like, so that's a thought I've had this month too.
How have those podcast people found you?
What's the third one? Oh, they're all people I know, like people I've been in community with before.
Yeah.
Okay. And honestly, one of them just started her podcast this week. And, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Got it.
The other two maybe a little longer, but they're not like huge.
Okay. All right. I think I have all the information I need. Okay. So in non-COVID times, what I would 100% recommend that you do, especially because you have been doing things locally, is to be networking locally and meeting people, maybe doing preview presentations, you know, at a yoga studio, you know, just different places where you can, that's where I think your energy would be best served, is you doing presentations or networking in person, locally, connecting. You know, $30,000 is $5,000 a month, if you said over 6 months. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, that's not a massive amount of people, but you just need a few more people that are in front of you and interested and, you know, that kind of thing. I'm guessing that New Jersey is similar to North Carolina and that a lot of that in-person stuff can't really happen right now.
Definitely not.
So then the next place I go to is, do you have any local things that are happening online? Like, are local yoga studios still putting on yoga classes? Are they, you know, could you speak to any groups that formerly were in person and now are temporarily online? And the reason why I recommend it before we get to let's create a freebie and a funnel and all of that is just simply because higher touch, more intimate, and like getting to really see and feel you and interact with you is almost always, 9 times out of 10, going to more easily and more quickly bring someone to be interested to be a prospect than opting into a freebie and reading all the emails and the funnel, then getting to the preview and the, you know, like all that. Not that that's not a way to go, but I always kind of like to look for the more intimate ways first.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't, like, what I see yoga studios doing, oh, of course the landscapers just came so my dog might bark, but I've seen them doing, like, their own class, like, they're like, honestly, like the one girl I know is like, oh my God, like when are we going to open? Like desperate to open. And she seems to be like maintaining the people that have memberships there through like her virtual classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I get a feel that it's just like we're counting down the days till we can open because this is, so I don't know that it's a place,
well,
you know,
even
I don't
if
know.
They're counting if down the days, like, would it be an added value for them to have a free workshop on the eclipses or whatever it is that you're going to bring,
yeah.
a free meditation class? You know,
okay.
Obviously, it would be a preview. So that's one thing to think about. I would say do some research and see if, because, again, before you get to kind of do funnels, and you know, which is labor intensive and takes more time, I want you to see if there are grassroots ways to start coming in contact with other people.
Okay, because then that what that brings up for me is I've done that before and I can never sell anything from it. So I probably just did it wrong.
I think you, yeah.
Like people love the content and people like,
not,
you know, get on my email list, but they don't
like
buy
a workshop,
from
stop, but not like a preview.
Okay, so I guess that's the gap
so
for
you
me
can
then
go,
right there. Okay.
You have a recording on preview presentations. Have you listened to that training?
No.
There's two.
And I know you've mentioned it to me before, but I didn't.
Yeah, there's two. There's like a more of a basic one on preview presentations, and then there's you also have access to a more advanced one on making calls to action at preview presentations and how to make the whole preview presentation like geared towards selling. So.
And then from that, you could sell like a, you know, like a $2,000 program from one of those?
Well, what you're really selling is a free prospect call.
Oh,
you just
okay.
need to get somebody on the phone. You need to
Got
get
it.
People on the phone with you, and then from there,
okay.
sell.
Okay. Yeah.
So you just need to make it activating enough for people. And it works to your benefit if it's not a program that you're selling, you know, but it's if you speak about the possibilities of working together and what the results are, you know, all the things,
mm-hmm.
and then just invite them to sign up before they leave for a time to connect
okay.
on it.
Yeah.
And I can help walk you through all the pieces, but listen to the recordings. So I would say,
mm-hmm.
you know, my preference for you would be option A, which would be option A is a combination of what we just spoke about, you know, any places that you could speak in any online spaces in that way to continue with individual outreach and to start emailing your community to do a campaign for this, like, special that you have with the private call and the two group calls, or even just the one private call, you know, just to see if there are some people that might come out of the woodwork for something like that from email and also on social media. Those would be option A if you think that you can find enough places. You know, if you can do 5 preview presentations over the next few months, again, you don't need 20 clients to make $5,000 a month. You need a couple of people that are buying a bigger private package with
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
Option, if that doesn't seem viable, option B would be to work on a free gift and then a funnel. But I would only do that if you really think option A can't work, because there's, you know, to do that, you know, it's not just the effort and the energy to create the gift and to create the funnel. Then it's like, well, how are you getting people to the opt-in page?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be getting on tons of different podcasts, possibly paying for ads on social media. You know, it's a thing to start
yeah.
to get into all of that.
Yeah. Okay.
The other idea, Dana, just to, you know, think about, that is labor intensive, but I think could be, you know, I would add it on to what I was sharing in option A, it would take some time to get together, would be to host a JV event. So a telesummit or some variation thereof, where you have experts that you're interviewing or that are giving presentations, but they're emailing their communities about the event, and then people in their community are opting in so that you're growing your newsletter community in that way, and then you have more people to sell to. And, you know, there's lots more that would go into that, and we can speak to how to shape that and all of that, but that would just be, I would say, like, everything in option A, and then if you had time, you know, if you started planning it now, I wouldn't recommend doing it before October, November anyway, because it takes some time to lay out. But that would be another way to get in front of people.
Okay. Yeah, this is sort of helpful because it's things I was thinking about, but just hearing you lay it out so simply is helpful.
The I'll just end with this, like, the way to make it happen is back to how you started this conversation, which is being organized, right? So getting clear on what are the projects, you know, based on what we've spoken about, what are the projects, and then blueprinting them out.
Mm-hmm.
You will have enough time for it, but you need to blueprint it out and be clear on what the actions are and when you're doing them.
Okay. Just a quick question about email community and social media, which social media may be less so important, but because I haven't emailed my community in months, and I have this, like, mini thing, I mean, whatever I offer them, I guess it doesn't matter because that doesn't have to be the thing that starts next week. Do you think I should just invite them? Or I was going to just make the offer for, like, maybe a discounted session so that, you know, I can get on the phone with them and give a little value and then have a conversation about maybe working more together. Do you think I should, like, send a few emails before I do that or just do it in the first one?
So I always get this question, like, for years people ask this question. And years ago, my answer used to be send a warm-up. If you haven't been in contact first, send a warm-up email or two first. But now, but that was back when there weren't hundreds of email communities and people getting so much in their inbox and people noticed if they hadn't heard from someone in a while.
Wow.
But these days, because email is so pervasive, you don't need to do that. If you want, in the first email that you send, you can mention, like, I haven't been in touch in a while, here's what I've been up to, but short paragraph on that, but then you can go straight into the offer.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Keep Dana, I want to hear, like, follow up on this. Let me know which of the options you're moving forward with and, you know, how you're going to move forward. Just keep me in the loop.
I will. And today I sold two of the things to my moon circle for the 3-week thing. So I sent one email last night and got
Yay!
Two people to buy. So
that's awesome. Yay,
yeah.
Send follow-up emails.
I will.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. There's time for one more cue, for one more question. Oh, wait, there is one here. By mistake, someone just raised their hand, and by mistake, I lowered your hand. So can you raise it again? I'm sorry. I didn't get to see who it was. All right. Who is this? 3506. Is that Victoria?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi there. Okay. I have a little bit of an existential kind of question or whatever, and I'm just wanting your perspective, and I'm wanting, you know, I'm just gathering more layers, you know, from my Montessori background, I guess. Started at age 2 and can't seem to get rid of it, which is fine. So, but I wanted to say that I've been in this beautiful, one of my journeys is really a reclamation of my soul, you know, and reclamation of myself, my true self. And so throughout this journey, and I've cultivated a lot of perspective and stuff on this, but, you know, there's still those little tendencies or habits that will come up as I'm releasing and transforming and, you know, stepping into my next level and things in a, from a more whole and healed space, I guess I'd call it. And so the habit that I've noticed is this betrayal of self and making other people's opinions, well, making other people and their opinions more important than my own and my own soul journey, you know?
Yeah.
And so with this, I've worked through tons of it. I see it. I can help other people with it. But, you know, to get, I'm at such a beautiful, pivotal point, and, you know, the pain has gotten so acute and chronic, I guess, that, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you know. And so it's beautiful, the perspectives that are coming through and the new awarenesses that are creating action, which is the very best thing, because then that's really creating the change and the shift. So my particular question is, you know, as I'm accessing this new confidence and clarity and courage, you know, which were things that were lacking prior for a period of time, how would you suggest, you know, tips or ideas or perspectives or whatever, I'm able to not necessarily put it through their lens, put everything, you know, through their lens, and to get back to my lens, and or not necessarily get thrown off as much by their energy, because sometimes it's not their opinions, it's just their energy. And when I do, you know, bounce back to myself more quickly, you know. And I mean, I have lots of tools for this and I can see it, but I also noticed that this past weekend I had this, you know, thing I was going to do, and then this my husband had, like, I don't know, kind of poo-pooed it, you know, from the scarcity kind of place and stuff. And I was just like, okay, fine, I'm not going to do that. You know, and I really felt the energetic shift of the betrayal of self. And so that's just a little small example. And I was like, oh, my God, that habit came up again. How could I have done that? You know, and I'm really familiar with the part thing. Like, you know, I've gone back to that little part and soothed it and this and that. So, but this one was kind of marked in the sense that I was kind of surprised it showed up. And, but I want to greet it with love, hold it, see it, feel it, and release it so it can be transformed, and in a quick way, you know. So anything around that, and I know there's a lot of more layers with that, you know, with the relationship in general and stuff like that. So, but, you know, even in general, I think about throughout my life how I've put other people's opinions at times.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So first of all, I mean, it sounds like you've done a lot of work on this already and have so much more both awareness and also compassion for yourself in all of it. So just really well done. And I think there's a lot of different directions it can go. And, you know, I'm going to, like, just give you some thoughts in a quick few minutes here. This topic could use, like, a full session, but
I know.
Kind of go quick. One of the things that I think could be really helpful is actually similar to what I was sharing with Adina earlier on the call, because it feels like my sense is actually that this isn't about doing, like, going deeper with the work, that this is actually to treat it more on the, like, the cognitive behavioral level in a way. Mm-hmm. Because you have done the deeper part,
yeah,
and, you know, like, all of that. And now this is really about a habit change in a way.
Yeah.
The habit being that you just, you know, even though you kind of know better, without thinking in the moment the way habitual things are, you kind of, you give the power away and you look,
yep,
through somebody else's lens. So one thing that could be helpful, and this is, you know, any of the cognitive behavior pieces, it's about persistence and consistency, not forever, but it's a practice for a while before,
yeah,
it takes root. But what I'm actually thinking is something real simple, like in the moment, you know, like the example with your husband, to pause, because you know when you're starting to betray yourself. I heard,
mm-hmm,
you say it, you can feel it, you know.
Yep.
To pause. And you can either do this in your head, or if you actually have a few minutes to, like, pull out a notebook or a piece of paper, even better. And I would just have, like, you know, if it is a notebook, like a running two columns. One column is their lens, like whoever the they is in the moment. And the other column is my lens, right? Your meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever the situation is, to write on the one column, okay, it's like, what's your husband's lens for this? And just acknowledge it, right, so that there's clarity that this isn't your lens, this is actually his, it's separate from you. And then in the second column, say, okay, what's my lens and what's my energy here? You,
yeah,
can do this in the moment. But also you can do this practice, if you don't catch it in the moment, if you commit, like, every evening to just reviewing the day and finding,
oh, yeah,
the places. And if you commit to this, what you will see that you'll start catching it more in the moment and then have more agency in the moment to respond versus react.
Exactly. I love that idea because it takes it, I mean, I've been objectively looking at it, but I still reacted in that situation. So it was a knee-jerk reflex, and I was like, ooh, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've been going there. That little girl hasn't been, you know, that little teenager or whatever it is, you know, hasn't been active lately. But what I also like about this is the objectivity of taking it one step further with that practice, and,
yeah,
kind of taking it out of reflecting on it too deep of a level that's not necessary, you know?
Yeah,
and
you've
just
done, like,
in,
you've done that.
Yes, I've done that. Exactly. And also, I do believe that this will help me energetically, because that's the thing, like, look, when I can look at these columns, I can look at my lens and my energy,
yeah,
versus his lens or whomever, you know?
Yeah.
And they're energy, and that will help specifically in the energetic piece kind of differentiate,
mm-hmm,
between the two,
yeah,
and be able to articulate more appropriate boundaries between,
yeah,
each of us, and then get back to my heart, my,
exactly,
soul,
and
my
then
true
make
self, and my
separate
courage, and my clarity, and my confidence, and my badassery, and my wisdom,
mm-hmm,
and my passion, you know, because that's what's right there underneath.
Yeah.
You know, so, but again, I have to stay in my side of the road.
Exactly.
So,
that,
yeah,
will, that will help
that.
You. And literally you'll have that visual of your side of the road, you know,
exactly,
with the columns versus,
yeah,
persons. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Love
I
that.
I'm excited.
And then
for
also
you
doing it daily.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be,
no, that's
part
the,
of my
right,
ritual.
That's the trick right there. Is
exactly.
It's not a once and done. You have to do it consistently.
Right.
All right.
Well, thank
keep
you.
Keep posted on here how it goes.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody, whether we heard your voice or not, just for your presence and your energy. And I'm thinking of all of you. And I'm here, whatever you need, just let me know. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.